Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Monday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. How was your weekend, my friend?
Oh. My weekend couldn't have been more fantastic. Once the actual weekend started on Saturday. So between Blanco and Javier and the lineup in general, there's nothing as it's always been. Absolutely nothing to worry about with this Astros team.
No.
One thing I learned this weekend.
It was funny to hear some of the post-game comments yesterday. By the way, welcome in. The Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers over the weekend, but it did not start well, as you are alluding to, Seth. It was funny to hear some of the players after the game last night talk about this jagged start that they've had as if it's over. Like, yeah, you know, we were never really worried, you know, during the start. I'm like, you're still 6-11, man. Like,
you're still,
have you looked at who's starting this Braves series this week?
I'm glad you pointed that out, Sean. When I listened to some of that, I did the same thing. I was like, wait a second, did I miss time?
Did I go on a bender
that I forgot about? Yeah, it's not like you're completely out of the dark, right? You still do right this moment, Sean.
Yeah.
The Astros have the second worst ERA in all of baseball.
Yeah.
So it's pretty bad. Like, you're not in an awesome position. The lineup and the offense really looks like it's on its way back to kind of making measuring up with some of the non-marquee stats. Like, yeah. they've been hitting the ball well. They've got a boatload of hits. Right. They got the most hits in the league.
Yeah.
They just hadn't actually scored runs with a lot of it. So they started to come back into focus this weekend.
Yeah, I feel better. You know, I feel better because, the lineup is hitting. They were coming up with key hits. They were having some Astro-like rallies. It wasn't just Yordan hit a 3-run bomb. And you know what I mean? Like, the bottom of the order was doing some things. They manufactured runs when they needed to manufacture runs. Yeah, the hitting I feel good about.
Some aggressive base running that didn't result in head-scratching, mind-numbing outs. It was
right,
nice.
Right, it was good. But, man, it did not start off well, on Friday with old
JP.
JP France, yeah.
So to be clear, just so everybody knows, even though, everything's awesome now, they are dead last in the AL West. They're only a half game behind the Mariners, only one game behind the A's. So if I had told you 3 weeks ago that, hey, you'd only be one game behind the A's after 17 games into the season, would you take that? I'm sure 99% of people said yes.
I would have said my guess would have been the A's are off to an uncharacteristic tear. You know, like if someone had told me they're a game back of the A's, like before the season, when tax day rolls around, you're going to be a game back of the A's, I would have said, man, The A's are off to a rip-roaring start then, because I wouldn't expect the Astros to be 6-11. Now, the A's are 7-9. By their standards, that is a rip-roaring start.
Right. Yeah. So, the Yankees are 12-4 right now.
Yeah.
The Guardians are 10-5.
Dude, can I just tell
Royals are 10-6. You're welcome.
Yeah. Can I just tell you, I have, during this triage start the Astros have been on, I paid zero attention to the rest of the standings. I'm like, I'm so hyper-focused on them having to win a game at a time and just kind of get out. But at least it's the Braves coming to town now. You know, at least they can really build on this with the Atlanta Braves coming into town. Maybe they can build on this, get a little momentum, beat a good team.
Verlander may start as soon as Friday.
Yeah.
So there's
Washington.
That. We've got that going for us,
yep.
Which is good. Yeah. And Framber might return before the team travels to Mexico City at the end of the month. So both of those guys hopefully back by the month of May.
Well, I think that's probably the biggest development of the weekend was they won a couple games against the Rangers. That was big. But off the field, the Framber thing looking like it's not going to be a big deal is huge for this team.
Right.
It's absolutely huge. And honestly, I'm probably short selling it. That's probably bigger news. That's probably bigger than the two wins they got over the Rangers, is that you're, we'll call him the co-ace of this team, along with Verlander. Like, they're on about the same level these days when they're fully healthy and pitching well. That's probably the biggest news of the weekend, is that the Framber thing is not a five-alarm fire. He's coming back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that was one of those confusing situations where with this team, when you hear elbow discomfort or soreness or anything like that, or inflammation was the word they used, then that could go multiple directions. Some good, some atrocious.
Yeah.
And the fact that there's any indication at all that they're coming, that he's coming back, obviously it's not the dreaded UCL.
Yeah. Yeah, which it's been around baseball, not just the Astros of late. I mean, so many injuries around
baseball.
You know
what, though? It's not as bad. It's not as bad, actually. This has happened before. The UCLs right now are not, crazily bad compared to previous years. A lot of people are blaming the pitch clock for a situation which is honestly pretty much, where it's, there have been multiple times in the last 15 years where there's been this many UCL injuries before the pitch clock. So okay. I'm not freaking out about that now anymore either.
Okay. So so it didn't start out well Friday. I was at a charity event and I'm just getting push notifications and I'm like, oh, another one of these innings, eh? JP France, 6 runs in the third. So they've had multiple pitchers give up huge innings over the last week or so. Within a 5-day period, they had 4 different pitchers give up at least 5 runs in an inning. Over last week. And as we all forecasted before the season, the guy who is going to straighten it all out every single time is Ronel Blanco. Ronel Blanco is the guy you turn to. And I got nervous for Ronel Blanco on Saturday because he gave up 2 in the first or second inning, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, somebody coughed on him, and now he's giving up big innings. And this is no, but he only gave up 2 runs. And I think more importantly, the Astros able to rally after that. They had a big inning. You know, they themselves had a big 7-run inning in that game. And that kind of, hopefully this kind of opens the floodgates a little bit offensively. As you pointed out, Seth, getting on base hasn't been the problem. Getting guys home has been the problem. And they were really good. The offense was really good this week. Good to see Altuve doing what he does to Uvalde, which is hit bombs against him.
Yeah. Honestly, this is 100%. This is 100% about the pitching and whether or not they get guys back healthy or not. I mean, the lineup's going to be just fine, especially when maybe you swap out, I don't know, perhaps a given Italian sounding minor leaguer for
Lo Perfido, dude. Okay, no. He had 3.
Just
home runs
every time
on
I
Friday.
Look up, every time I look up, he's hitting 19 home runs per game.
He had 3 home runs on Friday. That was the other thing. While the game was going into the toilet at Minute Maid Park on Friday, Lo Perfido is hitting 3 bombs, including a grand slam. He hit another one on Saturday too. He's got 10 this year so far. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. They asked Dana Brown about him over the weekend. And he said something to the effect of, he'll be up at some point. He could be a nice utility piece for us. I'm like, nice utility piece? He's your first baseman when he gets up here.
Right.
Things are still going the way they are.
The thing about Lo Perfido is he's had, a pretty rapid ascension after, not being necessarily all that remarkable. And I think that, like for a kid that's striking out a lot still, despite his power, it's relatively newfound power. I'm, as much as I'm trying like hell not to panic here, like I'm trying to be okay with them taking their old school time with him to be sure that they're not bringing him up too early. Because what are you going to, I mean, you don't want him to come up and languish on the bench and just pinch it every now and then or grab a start here or there. Like, you want to be sure that you can just go ahead and slot him in. I mean, it's a big jump for a team that's already taken a bunch of pitchers who weren't ready and thrown them up there. Like, I'm not so eager right in this moment to get Loperfido up there until they feel totally comfortable.
No, you got to let this heater play out that he's on right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, as you point out, he strikes out a lot. That's a sign that this could just be, you know, this could be the, you know, the wide range of some sort of sugar
right.
high that he's on right now. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right, right.
So they got to let that play out. Now, I didn't get to see this. I saw it on the highlights, but Brock Burke beaming Yordan on Friday with the Rangers up by a bunch of runs, and then Tucker hit a home run on the very next at-bat, stared him down. Since the beaning of
the mega backflip and stared him down on the home run, yeah.
Yeah.
It was everything. This was kind of like, it feels like Luno going after, what's his name there, the Yankees manager in 2015. It was like, it was a little bit of manliness that I think got the spark going.
Joe Girardi, I think, is
yes,
who you're thinking
you,
of.
Thank
yeah,
you, yeah.
Brock Burke, the pitcher,
feels like forever ago,
ended up punching a wall and breaking his hand and going on the IL after that. But since the beaning of Yordan on Friday, the Astros outscored the Rangers 22-7. Brock Burke might have been the wake up call that the Astros needed right there. So yeah, 22-7 since the beaning.
You know, there's something nice about them seeing what it's like to have a pitcher break his hand while punching a wall.
Yeah, it's not us for a change. That's good.
Yeah. I like, you guys are such amateurs. You're so new to all of this. You're just trying to copycat us in every possible way.
Do you think Brock Burke called Philip Maton afterwards? Just like a little advice on how you handle that after you punch a wall or a locker or something?
Oh, no. Maton doesn't own a telephone. That'd be way too much human contact for him.
True.
Don't be stupid,
Sean. All right. So the Astros, they a nice little two-game winning streak at home. First time they won back-to-back at home since early September of last season. Wheatstraw checking in early from the crane over on Westheimer over there. The show before y'all said the Texans are a super team because of Diggs and Danico Autry. Okay, agree or I would have said Danielle Hunter, but okay. So I heard a little bit of that conversation, Maggie and Perloff. Yeah, the Texans were
a super team, huh?
A super team, I guess.
Yeah, Perloff can take that and shove it where the sun don't shine. Yeah. I don't need any talk of super team. There's no such thing as a super team in the NFL. If there's one thing I know about super teams in the NFL is that they look awesome through November and then they fizzle the hell out. So
yes.
No. I will accept no super team.
We do not want that.
I'd rather get off to a slow start than to be recognized as a super team and before the season really begins.
We get some pressers today, man. We get D'Amico. We get C.J. Stroud. The
yes.
Will Anderson. The off-season program is beginning today. We're here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So we start to get this rotation of players, usually like two or three guys a week. This point, once OTAs begin and everything and the off-field practices begin, we'll get somebody after one of the practices. And I feel like this will be we're back to almost like the days of 2011 where almost anything you would hear from some of the star players was newsworthy.
Yep.
I'm excited. There's I've got that feeling.
I am too.
I've got that old 2011, 2012 feeling again.
We'll check with John and Landry. My guess is they're going to carry some of that stuff during In the Loop today. The press conferences are at noon, so they come down right in the middle of their show. So we'll get some clarity on that. But we're off and running on a Monday. It's great to be with you. Hope you had a phenomenal weekend. Get your taxes in today, too, people, by the way. They're due today. Cal and Hannah making the rounds late last week. Talked to pretty much every TV media outlet in town. They talked about Stephon Diggs. They talked about the Astrodome. We'll hear from the owners of the Houston Texans coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Cal McNair and Hannah McNair, they were they did the whole media car wash thing last week. They did sit-downs with all the TV stations here in town. We heard this one last week, but if you missed it, we'll play it again. The reaction, both in the McNair household and amongst the younger generation, of the with the Stephon Diggs trade.
Our boys, when they heard the Stephon Diggs news, were screaming around the house, and then their friends said their teacher stopped class to tell everyone. So there's quite a buzz amongst the younger generation about the guys that we brought in. So that's exciting.
But and we embrace the expectations. That's where we want to be. And at the same time, it's about building the team and the team being coached and working hard. It's the day-to-day things that are going to get us where we want to get to, but we've got to stay focused on, you know, and work hard every day to bring about where we want to go.
And we want to win now.
We want to win now. That was the big one. That made the rounds on Friday. Hannah's name was in the headlines on NFL.com for that one.
Hannah right there being very much the player that's like, coach gives a speech about how, you know, like, hey, stay the course, keep an even keel. And then there's one player that stands up in the back. He's like, oh, hell with that.
Right.
Hell with that.
Right.
You SOBs need to get on my level.
Yep.
Damn it.
Yep. Crotch chopping at the opponent as they're running out of the tunnel. Yep, that's Hannah. So that made the rounds on Friday. There were a few other interviews that were done, though, just following up on Diggs. This was a good one here. This was Jason Bristol of KHOU, and it's a good question, asking about bringing a personality like Diggs into a locker room that's got such great chemistry coming off of last year.
I think as a receiver, you probably want the ball. And I think as team, you want receivers that want the ball and want to make a difference with it once they get their hands on it. And I think he's one of those guys that can make a difference. And I'm glad he's here, and I look forward to getting to know him. I think we have a team that really works together well. And I think if he goes off a little bit, they'll probably challenge him and bring him back in. But they'll work together as a team, and I look forward to that.
And this is where you trust your evaluators, right?
Right.
I think we have a good culture in our locker room that he's coming into, and I think he's a great fit.
But
you want to win.
I mean,
and you want guys that want to win. And so I think, you know, sometimes you do have to challenge yourself, and we'll see what happens.
That's good. If you're a Texan fan, I think it's a great cut right there. That's good to hear from the owners of the team. I thought it was a good answer from Cal. And I agree with the part that Hannah said. And as you pointed out, Seth, like this, sometimes you have leaders on your team so you can bring in guys who need to be led, you know,
to
simplify
or,
it.
And if it's not necessarily even that you need to lead Brandon Jacobs, or excuse me, I was going to make a Brandon Jacobs comparison. It's not even necessarily that you have to lead Stephon Diggs himself. It's just that you want to be sure that the rest of the locker room doesn't all of a sudden get like pulled down the path of negativity if somebody's acting up. So I like really good football teams in the NFL have a certain amount of volatility amongst the personalities on the team. You know, the Chiefs at various times over the last few years have had either a Tyreek Hill or a Travis Kelce or any of those other guys that aren't always like the ideal picture perfect teammate or example of what how you want your kids to act on the sideline, but they do just fine. I mean, would you, oh no, We've got Stephon Diggs on the team. We might win three Super Bowls. Oh, dear. Let me clutch my pearls, you know?
Yeah.
I don't worry too much about it because that's just – if you're going to be a really good team in the NFL, you have to get to the point where you can withstand non-ideal personalities.
Absolutely.
Because every damn Super Bowl team I've watched in the last 10 years has at least one guy on it who wasn't Texans worthy and yet somehow was okay for that Super Bowl team. So, yeah, I'm glad that they've gotten over it.
Yeah, that's – it's funny. This is the extreme, obviously, the Patriots. But watching that documentary, the 10-part documentary on Apple TV where they went through the whole dynasty – and, yeah. Look, some of their stuff was way, way on the outer fringes. You know, like, obviously, the Aaron Hernandez situation is, beyond anything that most NFL teams have experienced ever. But just some of the day-to-day, the premise of the whole documentary was Tom Brady and Bill Belichick eventually not getting along with each other. Like, That was what – but they go through the course of the whole 20 years, and, man, you realize, like, how many different soap opera – conventional football – soap opera storylines there are with winning football teams, you know? And I got to thinking about, I'm watching this play out as we're in the middle of this kumbaya season with the Texans where everybody loves everybody and there's none of that. And my thought, it's interesting you say that about all these Super Bowl teams. My thought was, all right, eventually the Texans are going to have to bring some of this into their locker room because it just comes with the territory egos and being a really good football team and all that.
Right, you can't fall in love with a fairy tale.
Yeah,
you know,
yep.
Even like the one of the greatest fairy tales in American sports is Miracle on Ice, and yet if you look at how it all went down, there was nothing fairy tale like about that for the guys on the team. Like it was barely even a team. Everybody was getting shuffled in and shuffled out so much, but it's just really nice to package it afterwards. Is like, wow, look at this, they all stuck together.
Yep,
no, that's not how it happened. Yeah, you got to figure out a way to make asynchronous parts work together in synchronicity.
Yep.
And oh, so Brandon Jacobs was the guy I was thinking of who was like, he was constantly disgruntled when he was with the Giants, the running back with the Giants back in, he was on the team for both their Super Bowls, was he not?
May have been, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you got some disgruntled people here and there. Don't worry about it.
It happens. Here was Will Kunkel of Fox 26. Asked the McNairs about the Astrodome, that stepchild building sitting next to NRG right now. It's like a once great relative who's now sitting in their rocking chair, comatose. Like you wouldn't realize, like this guy was a great athlete at one point. Now he's just sitting here staring straight ahead. Here were the McNairs on the dome.
What's next for the Astrodome? What is going to happen with that building?
It's a county building, so whatever they decide to do, I'm sure they'll figure out something soon. It's, I think it's been condemned and it's not being used, so it's a drain on the taxpayer. So we'll see what the county decides to do.
Would you like to get involved, Hannah?
I'm not saying anything.
It's a drain on the taxpayer.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that this happens sometimes. There's something that people... In their minds, they tell themselves a story of how they feel about something, and then they don't think about it at all forever until something comes up. And then, oh, no, it's very, very important to me that the Astrodome not be torn down. Oh, yeah. When was the last time you sat and just, like, reflected upon it or made use of the Astrodome or did any damn thing at all about it? Like, oh, it's been forever. I barely really even realize it. Even as I walk past it on my way into games, I don't really take much time to think about it. You know what it is? It reminds me of, like, when there's a sometimes there might be like a sports media personality that people are like, oh yeah, I love that guy, and they'll say it to me, that's my guy, I listen to that guy every day. I'm like, well, he's been off the air for 4 years. but he's so smart. I know, but like,
talking about, that's never happened.
Like it just wasn't, nobody was listening, so you had to that's my guy.
That's never happened recently. What are you talking about? I'm literally asking our listeners to text in if it's the case. Does any other city right now have something like the Astrodome going on where it's a once proud stadium that games were played in that literally feels like it's being left up because they don't want to bury this relative? Like it's literally like that building is weekend. That building is weekend at Bernie's right now.
Jerry Jones. A lot of people wish they'd tear it down, but he's still standing. That's exactly. He is there, Jerry Jones.
Person.
Yes.
I'm literally looking for an actually.
No, yeah, like an old structure propped up with concrete and cement and a little bit of plastic.
Drain
probably.
On the taxpayer.
Yeah, yeah.
Text in and because every other most cities have like a party. For the, you know, when they stick all the dynamite in the building and the thing crumbles to the ground, they get people gather around and watch like a funeral. And yet we still sit here with the Astrodome. I'm dead serious. Someone says San Antonio kind of has the Alamo Dome. They still use that though, don't they? Do they not? I thought they did. Anyways, all right. Payne and Pendergast with you. So that Callahan and making the rounds right there.
I feel like they could turn it into a. Like a Thunderdome type situation where you just secure it from the outside, allow your most violent criminals to just create their own society in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have just a boatload of cameras everywhere so you can create revenue for the taxpayer through a reality show.
I would pay.
Like, I don't understand why they don't do this.
What would you pay for that subscription? The Thunderdome.
Oh, it's all paid for with advertising.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It costs the city of Houston nothing at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like it. It's not a bad idea. Not a bad
sports
idea at all.
Sports drinks. Mostly sports drinks. I feel like it would be sponsored by Gatorade.
You know,
so, like, you know, you'd have, is there battling in the Thunderdome? It's got Gatorade all over
it. It's very branded.
When they go to their corner or whatever, they drink Gatorade, all that.
They could do the next season of Survivor inside the Astrodome. That wouldn't be bad. Survivor, yeah. Astrodome, get voted out of the dome. That wouldn't be bad.
They should do a season of Survivor in a maximum security prison. You're like,
dude, I tell you, Charlie would not be on that one.
Violent Bob. Violent Bob, listen, it's you and me together, okay? We've got an alliance, trust me. And then you cut to your contestant in the next one, like, Violent Bob thinks we're an alliance, and I'm going to let him believe that for a little while. But at some point, you know, I'm going to have to vote out Violent Bob. Then you cut to next scene, Violent Bob shivving you 29 times as he finds out you betrayed him.
The Roman Colosseum is kind of old. Can you imagine? Taxpayers. Let's get rid of this eyesore in the middle of the city.
I do. Don't a lot of people go to the Coliseum and kind of have experience? What are you sitting here, like 50,000? My God.
Where are the boxes?
Where are the luxury boxes?
Yeah,
where
are the suites? Arian Foster had a good old man tweet this weekend, which I totally agree with. Apparently he went out this weekend, says, I haven't been out in some years. I'm old AF. TF is the point.
Yeah.
Music too loud. Can't talk to no one. Everyone on their phones. LOL. Y'all got it. This bleep whack. So Arian, who apparently doesn't get out very much, went out to, it seems like a club of some sort this weekend.
It was at 1:01 a.m.
Yeah.
On April 13th.
It's Saturday night. Yeah. Friday night.
Late Friday night, Saturday morning. Yeah. Apparently went out Friday night and was not impressed.
Yeah.
It's hard to hear even when you're young and have good hearing, and then you go out to a club when you're old and try to have a conversation with somebody.
Trying to talk about
your 401k with a young lady next to you, and she's all, "Where's the blow?"
This made me feel super old. I'm like, oh God, Arian Foster feels old now. I feel super old now.
Mm-hmm.
Like Arian, you know, because Arian always seemed like, you know, and still, you know, he still is, you know, young, pretty hip dude.
Yeah, but he's kind of a quiet, reflective.
That is true. He would seem like, of all athletes, one that would be like, man, what am I doing here? Arian would be at the far end of the spectrum.
Mark Cuban still gets out and gets after it, and he's old as dirt.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you see Cuban tweeted last night? You know, it's tax day, so that's when apparently, you know, Cuban, not flexing at all, I'm sure. Someone tweeted at him like, so... Do you do the same thing that so and so does and not pay any taxes, Mr. Billionaire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Cuban used that as an opportunity to give the greatest humble brag of all time. I'm wiring $288 million to the IRS tomorrow. Okay.
Oh wow.
$288 million. He's paying in taxes.
Boy, I wonder if he has an interpreter. Does he know that? Like, what if he's actually only? What if he's actually not paying taxes? He just has an interpreter slash accountant who's got him duped into believing that he's actually spending $288 million.
$288 million in taxes. That's pretty.
Mark
baller.
Cuban sent $288 million to a bookie,
a low level bookie in L.A. Oh man! All right, Payne and Pendergast. So
$288 million doesn't have to pay state income tax, but those property taxes are a killer in the state of Texas.
They are. Yep, they are. They're high. All right, Payne and Pendergast. Let's get to headlines. The Astros kind of right the ship a little bit this weekend. We'll talk about that. Rocket season is over. We'll talk about that. And the Texans, we've got a Masters champion. We've got a lot to get to in headlines. We'll do that coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
I hope you're having a good Monday. Appreciate you getting up with us. Headlines from over the weekend. We'll start with the Astros. They take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers. Did not feel good starting this series. Friday was yet another in a long line of games this week where the starting pitching imploded. This time it was J.P. France, a 6-run inning he gave up. They lose 13-8 on Friday, but they straighten out the ship over the weekend. Ronel Blanco, another solid outing, 6 innings, 2 runs, weathered an early storm. That was good to see. So you got hit with a little adversity. He had a good start, and the Astros explode for 7 runs in the 7th on Saturday. And then on Sunday, Christian Javier, very solid. 7 innings from Javier, which is a rarity. He was very economical with his pitches. They did him a lot of favors, swinging in a lot of first pitches. And Jose Altuve set the tone. 2 home runs off of Nathan Uvalde, and they win 8-5 yesterday. So overall, a very, very good weekend for the Astros, I would
this
say.
This was for Altuve especially, who's just, as he typically does, gotten off to a very good and fast start, but even better than his usual standards here. Altuve just absolutely owning Uvalde has been one of my the more pleasant things to come out of. Like, not just obvious, it's been a long time coming. But he's now got 7 home runs versus Uvalde. The most he has versus any other major league pitcher is 3. Yordan owns Uvalde as well. And Uvalde had gotten off to a sub-2.0 ERA early in the season. They pretty much just wrecked everything for him yesterday. It was nice. It was really nice to see. For a guy that had a couple good games against the Astros not too long ago, we don't need to relive it.
Yeah.
Don't need to think about that I've at all right
about
now.
That. Yeah,
let's worry about the fact that the Astros right now have a winning record versus the Rangers, and they made Uvalde look like he should go back down to maybe double or single A.
The Braves come to town now. And the 3 starting pitchers for the Astros in this series against the Braves will be Spencer Arrighetti, he of the 7-run third inning a few nights ago. Hunter Brown, he of the 9-run first inning a few nights ago.
Boy.
And J.P. France, who was actually the steadiest of the 3 with just a 6-run outburst on Friday against the Rangers. So this is this will be a nice test for the Astros.
As the Astros are giving sound bites that sound like, oh yeah, that rough beginning, that was all in the past.
Yeah.
They are still dead last in the AL West.
6-11. Jeremy Pena's like, yeah, we knew we'd get through this rough start. I'm like, bro, you're still in this rough start.
It's like being wheeled into the delivery room and your wife being like, wow, that wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like, no, honey. We've got more to come.
Yeah.
We've got more to come.
Yeah,
But I'm okay. I'm bracing myself for it. I feel like this weekend you saw that, hey, A, the lineup has been hitting pretty well. It just hasn't resulted in runs. They've got the most hits in Major League Baseball right now, where it actually resulted in runs this weekend. They've got the best OPS in the AL. Like, a lot of the lineup, you should feel really good about it. But if you watch baseball, you know you can't just rely on an awesome lineup to show up every single night and to produce double-digit runs at will because you've got three minor leaguers starting for you.
Yeah. Part of me is like, man, could you save some of those for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, fellas? You know, Saturday, we only needed three of those. You save some for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I will say, the pitching being better this weekend, you know, this looking more like these look more like normal Astro games this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
It did allow me to enjoy some of the fast starts that some of these guys are off to in the everyday lineup. Like, oh, wow, that's right, Pena's batting 339 right now. Like, I haven't even been able to enjoy the fact that Jeremy Pena looks like he might have turned a corner here early in the season. Mm-hmm. You know, like, to this point, he's really only had one phenomenal month of his two-year career. It just so happened to be the month they were playing in the ALCS in the World Series. The more the body of work of Jeremy Pena says he's like a 700 to 750 OPS guy. But he made painstaking efforts to fix his swing this offseason, and so far it looks like it's been pretty successful. He's been very consistent so far.
Yeah. You just got a black hole at first base, and you can only have your catchers play first base so many times before you start thinking about bringing up your minor league phenom, Lo Profeta.
How about having two catchers that can hit? That's pretty cool. Caratini had the biggest hit, maybe the biggest hit of the weekend, his pinch hit on Saturday to drive home the go-ahead runs in that win on Saturday. So good job, Astros. 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. Braves in town. Rockets season is over. They close it out with a 116-105 win over the Los Angeles Clippers. 41-41, the best record ever for an 11 seed in the history of the league. So they are playing in a deep Western Conference. Not good enough to get into the play-in this season. Good enough to get into the – if there were a play-in every season prior to this, it would have probably been good enough to get in and still be playing basketball. But this is a massive success. This season, play-in or no play-in, 41-41 in a 19-game improvement, and playing better at the end of the year than at the beginning of the year for a lot of these guys, big improvement.
It would be nice if you could have ended it on a, you know, where you're playing one of the best teams in the league in the Clippers, and maybe the Clippers send out your old star, James Harden. But no, James Harden was not going to grace us with his presence in this game. The Clippers would only start one starter, but the Rockets also
who went off for like 40, it felt like, Terrence Mann.
The Rockets started four of their most recent six draft picks.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you need to know. This was youth. This was, as you said, what we've all dreamed of, having the best record ever as the 11th seed.
Yeah, man.
That's good for you. That banner will hang forever at Toyota Center.
Oh, yeah. Let's hang one for sure. Yeah. Probably the biggest story coming out of this game, at least nationally, Boban got the people free chicken. If you miss two free throws, Chick-fil-A gives everybody free chicken. Boban misses the first and then starts gesturing to the crowd.
Mind you, this is with 4 minutes left in the game.
The Rockets
were up by 7 at this point.
So here we go.
Fans are getting excited here. There might potentially be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh, man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to him. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken?
Here's your job.
Oh, he gave him chicken. He's a man of the people. Chicken.
Okay. That was Ryan Holland's best call of the year, by the way.
I don't know if he did it on purpose or not. I don't think he's not a good enough free throw shooter to intentionally miss but just rim it, you know, and have it bounce just to the left. So I think he was screwing with the crowd one way or the other. He knew there was a good chance he wasn't going to make it. Look, he's honest, if nothing else, with himself. And so he ended up getting the crowd going crazy. But I don't believe that with over 4 minutes left in the game, he intentionally missed the free
throw. I don't think so either. He dominated the fourth quarter, by the way. He hadn't played prior to the fourth quarter. He comes in. He has 13 points and 8 rebounds in the fourth quarter, Boban did.
That's right.
And there were times where he's just holding the ball over his head with one hand, like he was an adult at a cookout or something like that. Mm-hmm. It made me feel like I needed to see more Boban this year. I needed more Boban in my life. But 41-41, good job, Rockets. Big improvement over last season. Texans offseason program begins today. D'Amico Ryans, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, all meeting with the media at about noon today. I'm sure In the Loop will be all over that.
Big question will be whether Stephon Diggs is there or not. I think the off-season contention with the Bills that Stephon Diggs didn't want to be there for the off-season program. The Texans didn't have like 100% attendance last year.
Mm-mm.
So this is not something that's a deal breaker, which, I mean, technically it is supposed to be voluntary, and yet coaches try to toe the line as to whether or not they care about it. I don't know. I would expect Stephon Diggs to be there.
You do?
I think he's gonna be wherever CJ is.
What do they do at this early April stage? Is it just lifting and stuff like that? They're not doing any sort of installation.
I don't think
like
they start on field stuff for at least a couple of weeks. Okay. I could be wrong. They change it with each new CBA.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So that's today. Scottie Scheffler is your Masters champion. He wins by 4 strokes yesterday in Augusta. Just not a whole lot of suspense there. He led going into yesterday, got a little tight there early on, and then just ended up winning by 4 strokes. Just he's a closer. He wins the second Masters. Probably the big story, I won't say bigger, the biggest story is who won. But the second biggest story, Tiger, 16 over for the weekend. DFL, dead last for Tiger. Highest score of his career. 16 over for a 72-hole tournament. So, Tiger's getting closer and closer to being one of those olds who tees off first at the Masters.
Scheffler, it was fun. It was interesting. I mean, his wife is expecting. Not like she wasn't like your due date wasn't yesterday or anything, but her due date is imminent with their first child, and he had said beforehand that it doesn't matter if he's on the 15th or 16th hole on the final day. If his wife goes into labor, he's gone. So there was
BS.
A little bit of that, like just kind of wondering
BS.
Whether or not. I guarantee his wife had already committed to just keeping her mouth shut. If he was on the 16th hole, what's she gonna do? Like text his caddy? I don't know.
Yeah.
So he won it. He was kind of, I don't want to say miserable afterwards, but you could tell he was still distracted. He said his mind is on getting home to his wife and everything. I feel like this is what I would say about Scheffler, man. Don't, listen, buddy. I appreciate how you're feeling about all this and everything, but you're kind of setting an unrealistic bar for all the working folk out there.
Man.
All right? Not everybody has the luxury of just saying, hey, boss.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you're stationed in the Middle East or something. It's not like you can go up to your captain and be like, hey, captain, I'm going to be like Scheffler. I gotta hoof it back to the States as soon as my wife goes into labor.
Right,
Scheffler? Keep it to yourself, damn it.
I know we're getting ready to launch these drones, but my kid is on the way, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you.
All he does is win Masters, Sean.
That's all he does.
Payne
and Pendergast with you on a Monday. All right, let's circle back to the Astros. Three big things other than on the field that Astro fans are monitoring. Three non-game things that Astro fans are monitoring. What's the status on these three highly important things? We will get that to you coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.